if you were not here last Wednesday night, all right, we handed out a set of notes from last Wednesday night, as well as I ran off a copy for everyone of a Jewish calendar that you will need as we go through these particular studies and through the feast. How many of you did not get one of the Jewish calendars from last Wednesday night? I need to hold your hand up because I know how many I have. One, two, three, four. Brother Charles, okay? If you could do me a favor and run off probably another five or six, okay? We will hand these out because I will tell you, you're going to need these calendars, all right, as we go through and look at these particular feasts. And if you will just do me a favor, Brother Charles will be back with the other ones. Now, there are also a set of notes that go from last Wednesday night as well. And how many of you need a copy of the notes as well? Okay. All right. Let's do this. All right. Brother Sammy, yeah, would you, if you need a copy of the notes, if you'll just lift your hand in the air, Brother Sammy will get those to you. If we don't have it, Brother Sammy, hold on to one if you don't have enough so we can run them off. Okay? All right. Yep, you got the notes right. Mm-hmm. That is the page of notes that you have in your hand right there. You got both of them. Mm-hmm. You got both of them, and you got the new notes for tonight. Okay? All right. Okay, we're gonna need to go run. Yeah, and Brother Charles, have him run about five of them off. Okay, and then he'll be back with the calendars as well. Okay. All right. Hopefully you should have the notes for tonight. Everybody have the notes for tonight? You should have got a set of those for tonight. All right. We're going to start with those. All right. And we'll go through those, and then I'll make reference to the calendar and just, all right. Okay, there's the other ones. So you'll need all of, so if you need a calendar, no, you just get one. If you need a calendar, slip your hand up real high in the air so that he can get those to you, okay? Calendars are very important because you will need a copy of the calendar, all right? So as Brother Sammy is handing those out, all right, we will go to the notes for tonight and begin with number one, all right? And you're going to need the calendar as he's handing those out. As we look at number one in your notes. I would rather you get them than to... All right, well, good. Let's start in number one then of your notes. All right, Leviticus 23. We kind of looked at this last Wednesday night. We did an introduction just kind of to the overall study of feasts. We're going to narrow in on one of them tonight, and that is Passover. We're going to go through and look at Passover in quite some detail. And so you're going to need that calendar that you hold in your hand as well, because there's actually three dates on that calendar that we're going to look at. And I will say this, during the mornings, our devotion time in the mornings, we're going through the Old Testament right now, and we were in the book of Exodus this morning, and we came across the very first month for the nation, or the Hebrews, before they came. All right, Brother Charles has a copy of the notes from last Wednesday night. If you need them, you can just lift your hand up in the air, okay? You will see the first month. If you look at the calendar that you have in your hand, if you'll look up at that, if you'll look at that calendar, look up at in the first month on the left-hand side of the calendar, all right? It is depending on where you're reading, and you'll see both of these names. And that is Abib or Nisan, okay? It's the same month. In the Old Testament, when you're reading, okay, sometimes you will come across both of those months, all right? And just know that it's the same month, okay? And, of course, Nisan is the Hebrew name for the month, all right? Abib is a Canaanite name. Nisan is the Hebrew name. So that's why sometimes you will see both of them in the Old Testament, depending on where you're reading. But it all is the first month, or the month Nisan, all right? So there's three dates in that month. One of them is the 10th, one of them is the 14th, and the other one is the 15th. All three of those dates I give to you inside of that calendar. And let me just say this as we get into the Passover. The Passover was to be held on the 14th day of the first month. And let me say this, God set this calendar for Israel. He was the one who set this calendar. Exodus chapter 12 is where this calendar was set, okay? Set by God, and they would follow this procedure. Okay, when you look at Leviticus chapter 23, you will see the very first feast that we begin with on the 14th day of Nisan, which is Passover. I will say this, on the 10th day of Nisan is when the lamb is actually chosen. The lamb is taken, and then the lamb is held for the 10th, the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, and the 14th when he's killed. Okay. And they will keep that lamb in the house. They would keep it inside the house, running around in the house to protect it and make sure nothing was to happen to, because it's a lamb that is chosen without spot or without blemish. And so he's put in the house so nothing happens to him from the 10th to the 14th when the lamb is actually offered up as a sacrifice for Passover. Then you will notice the 15th day of Nisan, which begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread. One of the things you're going to see tonight, specifically in the New Testament, is a reference in the New Testament to the Feast of Passover, also the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and it is given for 8 days. And let me explain to you, that is not an error in the Scripture. So don't think for a minute that there's an error in the Scripture. Let me explain the way that is. The Feast of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Passover depends on how it's referred to. In the Old Testament, we see Passover listed as a feast under the spring feast that begin in the month Nisan, which is the beginning of the springtime, which is a March-April time frame on our calendar. Okay, so Passover is the first of the feasts that come on the calendar. All right, now, Passover is one day. That's all it is. It's one day. They take the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread begins on the 15th day of Nisan, and it runs for 7 days. So what you wind up with is a total of 8 days. Sometimes in the New Testament, you will see it referred to at the week of Passover. Well, it's not. It's actually Passover plus Unleavened Bread, and the two of them go together, okay? So when you look at this calendar, you will see the 10th is where the lamb is taken, chosen, protected, watched, kept. 14th day of Nisan is when the Passover meal is eaten. And then you go immediately into the 15th, which begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we'll look at the Feast of Unleavened Bread completely separate than the Feast of Passover. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. All right. So those are the three main dates that you need to look and see on the calendar to begin with. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and verse 8. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and verse 8, Paul makes a reference in writing to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth had some significant issues that were taking place within the church at Corinth: fornication, pride, false teaching. The list just went on and on. Paul wrote two letters to the church at Corinth trying to deal with those particular issues. Chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians, Paul deals with the issue of fornication in the church there at Corinth, and goes through in great detail to talk about that. But there's two verses in chapter 5 that's kind of, they're interesting verses, all right? Number two in your notes: why would someone keep the feast celebrating Passover, specifically considering Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and verse number 8? And notice what he says. He says, "Purge out, therefore," or "clean out," okay, "the old leaven." Now, if you'll remember, let me tell you what leaven is. It's yeast, okay? It causes bread to rise. That's what it does, okay? Leaven is seen and spoken of in Scripture and identified with sin, okay? That's what it's identified with. Now, what's interesting about the feast and the sacrifices that were associated with the feast: if a sacrifice was being offered on behalf of the offerer, then it was permitted, they were permitted to eat leavened bread, because man was sinful anyway. The offerer was sinful. If it was a sacrifice pointing to Jesus Christ and the sacrifice was to God, then it had to be unleavened bread. Which is interesting, and most folks don't realize when they look at the sacrifices, because in some cases they were allowed to eat leavened bread, and in some cases it had to be unleavened. Well, it depends on what the sacrifice and who the sacrifice pointed to. If it was strictly the offerer, then leavened bread was permitted, okay? But otherwise, it had to be unleavened. So here's what Paul says. He said, so what you need to do is you need to clean out the old leaven. Now, let me say this. Paul is not talking about out of your physical house. What he's talking about is out of your spiritual house, your earthly tabernacle, this thing, okay? That you may be a new lump. In other words, let me tell you what this is: a contrast between the old man and the new man. That's what it is, okay? Putting off of the old, putting on of the new. Now, notice the next phrase: for even Christ. The Greek word there for Christ is Christos, which also means Messiah. So for a Jewish believer reading this passage of Scripture, let me tell you the way they see this phrase in verse number 7. For even Messiah, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Let me tell you something. When you read behind a rabbi or two rabbis looking at this from the Apostle Paul from a Jewish perspective, it is so rich. It's just unbelievable, okay? For them, writing from a Jewish perspective, for us as a Gentile, I'm going to tell you something. It just doesn't, it's difficult for me to kind of try to get across to you the significance of what Paul's writing here. He said the significance of Messiah, the Passover, that was offered for you. And matter of fact, what he goes on to say in verse number 7, he says, for even Christ or Messiah, our Passover sacrifice for us. Now look at verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast. You know, have you ever read through that, you know, passages like that, and you come across the phrase like, let us keep the feast? What in the world feast was he talking about? He's talking about Passover. Let's keep the feast. Now, let me say this. What's interesting about verse number 8 is, therefore, let us keep. The Greek word there for keep means to celebrate. That's what it means. It means to celebrate. And so what Paul is writing here, he said, so therefore, let us celebrate this feast. Now, did he mean that now for believers on this side of the cross that it was necessary for us to keep the Passover? No, it's not what he's saying. He said you need to understand the significance of Messiah, our Passover. Jesus Christ died for our sins. Therefore, you need to put off the old and you need to put on the old. You need to put on the new. Therefore, let us celebrate or keep. Does that mean to do it every single day? No, it does not. It's not what Paul is dealing with here, all right? And then Paul goes on to say, and he says, and not with old leaven, not with old yeast, okay? Not with the tradition, okay? What he's saying here is we don't keep Passover the traditional way. So let me ask you a question. Do you keep Passover? You don't? Really? You sure? Let's keep going. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and what? Truth. What did Jesus tell the woman at the well? There was coming a day when you would not worship me in Jerusalem nor in that mountain, but in what? In spirit and in truth. Paul says we celebrate in sincerity and in truth, not in the tradition of the old leaven, of the old traditional way. Do we celebrate Passover? Yeah, what does Passover represent? The Lamb of God being sacrificed for our sins. So that's why I asked, do you celebrate Passover? You should every day. Okay, why? Because it's significant to us. Keep in mind, they did it once a year. But Jesus Christ, who died for us, guess what? He was our Passover Lamb. So he is. So we ought to celebrate that every single day. Number three in your notes. So have you ever come across you ever come across phrases like that in the New Testament, especially written by Paul, that makes reference to things like that, and wonder what was Paul talking about here? And basically he's talking about Passover here in dealing with the church at Corinth and dealing with the Jews. Number three, it's merely to reflect and speak about the events of the, is it, okay? I mean, is it merely to reflect and speak about the events of the past that took place in Egypt? That's why Paul said, not with old leaven, okay? Number four, no, it's because Messiah, our Passover, has come. That's the key to 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8. We celebrate and proclaim the full redemption from sin, which was typified by the redemption from Egypt. What was it? It was a picture. They're coming out of Egypt, the redemption, the Passover, all pointed to something, okay, that was significant for us. So, number six. So, the festival year begins with what is called the spring feasts, starting with Passover. Let's go back to Leviticus 23 and look at verse number 5, okay? Leviticus chapter 23 and verse number 5. Remember, Leviticus 23 pretty much sets the calendar, okay, of all of these special events for Israel, set, of course, by God. So when you look at Leviticus chapter 23 and look at verse number 5, and notice what it says, in the 14th day of the first month, which is Nisan, at evening is the Lord's Passover. Okay? 14th day is the Lord's Passover. Okay? And then if you look down in verse 6, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So you see they're put there together. Right? Number 7. Passover always falls on a full moon. The first full moon of spring. Why? I will tell you why. Because the Jewish calendar is based on lunations. It's a lunar-based calendar. And that's why, therefore, their calendar starts in the spring. These are known as spring feasts. Okay? If you look at the month Nisan in a Jewish calendar, That's our March, April time frame. Okay? It's what that is. Always. 14th day of. Well, generally, okay. And here again, the other difficulty that you have is depending on the way the cycles were, sometimes they would have to add, a few days here and there to get everything. Hold that question, okay, because I'm going to get to it later, okay? Because it's also going to deal with the time that Jesus Christ was crucified, okay? And we'll get into all of that. Some of y'all are smiling like I can't wait to hear what you have to say, okay? Just hold on because we probably won't get to that tonight. Probably going to run out of time. But I will get there, okay? Number 8, on this day, because of the blood of the Lamb, the Hebrews were delivered from bondage. That's where they were delivered from. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12, all right? Exodus chapter number 12. Exodus chapter 12, and we'll start in verse number 1, all right? Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. So the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month will be to you the beginning of months. It will be the first month of the year to you, which is the month Nisan. So I want you to speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, you'll take every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." Okay? And so you'll see that on the 10th day, they're to take that lamb. And then they're to keep that lamb. All right? And then it goes through and it talks about the size of the house and so on. We'll look down at verse number 5. "Your lamb will be without blemish. It'll be a male of the first year. You'll take it out from the sheep or from the goats." Okay? And not just any lamb would do. Okay? Not just any lamb would do. Now let's go to verse 11. "And you'll eat it with your loins girded." In other words, you'll be fully clothed. You'll be ready to go. "Your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. You'll eat it in haste." In other words, to be ready to go. And notice what the next phrase is. It is the Lord's Passover. Verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood will be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Now go to verse 24. "And you will observe this thing for an ordinance to you and to your sons forever. And it will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you according as he's promised that you will keep this service. And it'll come to pass when your children will say to you, 'What mean you by this service?' Then you will say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses.' And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they." So that's the institution of the Passover in the month Nisan. Lamb chosen out on the 10th day, kept until the 14th day, offered on the 14th day. The Passover meal was eaten on the 14th day of Nisan, right before the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Number 9. So it's seen clearly in both testaments, the blood of the Lamb delivers from slavery, the Jew from, of course, from Egypt, and the believer from sin. Doesn't matter if you're in the Old Testament or the New Testament, okay? Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross of Calvary, was the Paschal Lamb. That's what he was. That's who he was. He was the Passover Lamb, the final sacrifice. "There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin," okay? Offered up once. And it's set down at the right hand of the Father. There isn't more sacrifice. Okay? He was it. He was the final. Number 10. It then was not coincidental that Jesus Christ was sacrificed during Passover. Okay? So let's go to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 27. Now, I'm not going to get into the timeline tonight of all of that week. I'm just going to kind of touch on this and just kind of whet your appetite just a little bit. All right? Verse 27, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 27. Actually, verse 26. We'll go down through verse 28. Verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink you all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." Now I want you to understand what is going on right here. If you go back to verse number 17 of chapter 26, I want you to notice, let me tell you something. Okay, here's what we often do. We often just kind of read over that. Well, it's the Last Supper, they're all gathered together in the upper room. They're all leaning on each other, boy, and they got the cup. Just like they had been through, and they'd experienced this just every year, okay? Let me tell you something. What happened this night was unlike anything they had ever experienced. Never one like this one. Now, what time of the year was it? What time frame was it when this took place? Well, chapter 26, verse 17. Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Notice that phrase, now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Let me tell you when that is. They're talking about Passover here. It's the first day. Passover, 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it's a total of 8 days. What they're making reference here, and that's what you have to be careful when you read that, to know that what he's talking about here is that first day, which is Passover day, which is tied directly to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay? And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, the disciples came to Jesus saying unto him, "Where will you that we prepare for you to eat the what?" Well, let me tell you what that tells you. Okay, that's the 14th of Nisan. Okay, Feast of Unleavened Bread, look at your calendar, begins on the 15th of Nisan. But it's sometimes referred to as either the whole Feast of Passover, all 8 days, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And sometimes it's separated, okay? So you just really have to pay attention to the context there. So, verse 18, and so he said, "Go to the city, to this certain man, say to him, the master says, my time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples." And so now, it's Passover. The city is full of people, okay? Trying to find a place to have the Passover meal, okay? Keep in mind, Jerusalem's full. This is the annual Feast of Passover. The disciples are expecting to have a Passover meal with Jesus that night, just like they always had, okay? And they get up there, and there's the bread, and guess it's unleavened, okay? And the cup, which you have, okay? And we're going to get into that in just a little bit. And then that was the elements of a Passover meal, okay? The bitter herbs, the lamb, okay? The bread, the cup, all of those portions that make up the Passover meal. But specifically, when Jesus got to the bread and when he got to the cup, that's when things got significantly different for them. Because when you look at verse 26, notice what he tells them. He took it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. And here's what he said. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body. This is my body." Okay? Symbolic. And let me caution you with something here. It did not turn into the physical flesh or body of Jesus Christ. It is not transubstantiation. It is symbolic of the brokenness of his body and the crucifixion that was coming. And then when you go down to the next portion, verse 27, so he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them, saying, drink all of it. Now notice what he tells them in verse 28. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now imagine being the 12 and sitting around the table at this Passover meal. Unlike any Passover meal they had ever experienced before. Number 11 in your notes. The believer celebrates Passover by participating in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's how we celebrate Passover. We participate in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Guess what? He was the Paschal Lamb. That's what he was. By us becoming a believer, we participate in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6. Okay? We'll get there. Okay. Y'all keep going back to this timeline in Jerusalem of that week. Okay. We're going to lay out that. I'm going to lay out the week for you. Okay. Now, let me just go ahead and say this about laying out that week. Okay. You can read 10 different commentators and you're going to get 10 different ideas about what that week looked like. Okay. What I'm going to do is take the scripture for you. I'm going to lay it out for you, okay? And I'm just going to let you draw from it what you want to draw from it, okay? And how all of that, like, I can tell you this, that he rose from the grave on the first day of the week. All right? And I know when Passover is, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you that date, and I'm going to give you the Passover date, and then we're going to fill in the rest. Okay? Y'all game for that? Okay. And watch this. If you don't agree with me, I still love you anyway. Okay? Because when we get to heaven, we'll find out it was right. No, I'm just joking. Okay. We may be all wrong. Okay? When we get there. All right. Number 12, believers do not keep the feast in remembrance of the Exodus from Egypt. It was a shadow of the greater redemption that was to come. Number 13, now here comes the ultimate question. I get asked this a lot. Do Jews still celebrate Passover today? And let me answer that question for you. They do. Both non-Messianic as well as Messianic Jews. If you go to a Messianic community or a Messianic church of believers, okay, they celebrate Passover, okay? And they celebrate it at the time given in Scripture of when they would normally celebrate Passover. It's a much richer celebration for them than it is for us because it's just not part of who we are, okay? But it is for them. Now, let me tell you what it's called. Basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through and kind of give it all to you. It's called a Passover Seder. That's what it's called. It's called a Passover Seder. All right? And so, how many of y'all have ever heard of a Seder? Okay. How many of you have never heard of a Seder? Okay. That is the Jewish Passover today. It's called a Seder. That's what it's called. Okay. Number 15 in your notes, a Seder literally means order. That's what Seder means. The Hebrew word, the meaning, means order. Okay? Referring to the ancient service and the meal held usually on the first night of Passover. Okay? Let me just say this. Since the destruction of the temple in 70 A.D., since the destruction of the temple in 70 A.D., there have been no sacrifices. There have been none. Okay? Well, they don't. Okay? Because of that very reason. Okay? They cannot celebrate one of the other feasts, and that feast is called the Day of Atonement that is done in the seventh month of Tishri. All right? So they can't celebrate that. And matter of fact, they're holding out and still looking for the Messiah to come. Okay? But now those Messianic Jews, okay, those who are believers, now realize and understand the significance of Passover. But it does, it puts them in a very difficult position. But let me tell you what they hold to. If you talk to, matter of fact, if you talk to an Orthodox Jew today, even though the Day of Atonement, for an Orthodox Jew, okay, they honestly believe that when the day comes, they're going to be with God because they're his chosen people. They're recipients of the oracles of God, and because of their position and placing as the people of God, there's no way that God would turn them away. Okay? That's a sad place to be in. All right.
That's
well, that is correct, right. Mm-hmm. Now, let me say this about the Seder today. The Seder is still celebrated with bitter herbs. It's still celebrated with unleavened bread. There are four cups to the Seder today. Four cups, four different cups of the Seder. Each of these four cups represent a different component of the Passover, okay? And also, let me say this, a shank bone of a lamb, that has been cooked, all right, that has been prepared, is left on the Seder plate. They leave that shank bone of a lamb on the Seder plate as a reminder of the last and final sacrifice of the lamb. So Messianic Jews who celebrate the Seder leave that bone, that shank bone of the lamb on the plate to represent the last and final sacrifice, which is interesting. Okay. Now, let me kind of give you some of the components of a Passover Seder celebrated by Messianic Jews. Okay. First, there's a lighting of candles. There are candles that they have that they light. The Seder is divided into four sections, four specific sections. Okay. They drink four times from the cup, okay? They drink four times from the cup to remember the blessings of redemption. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 6, all right? And you'll see where they get this from. Exodus chapter number 6. There are four cups to the Seder, all right? And I'm going to go through all four of those cups right here in Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 and verse number 7. The first cup, okay, is called the cup of sanctification. It's the cup of sanctification. That's the first cup. Verse 6 of Exodus chapter 6. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Here comes the first cup. They drink it to this phrase. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. The setting apart. The moving them out. They will be taken out. It's called the sanctification cup. It's the cup of sanctification. Okay? Cup number 2. Which is the plagues. It's the next part of verse 6. I will rid you out of their bondage. Okay? I will rid you out of their bondage. What's he talking about? The plagues. So I will rid you out of bondage. Okay? Out of the plagues. Number 3 is the cup of redemption, found in verse 6. It's in the phrase, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. It is the cup of redemption. And then verse 7 is the fourth cup of praise. Often referred to is a hallel. Okay? It's called in Hebrew a hallel. Okay? verse 7, and I will take you to me for a people. It's the cup of praise. So you have four cups here: sanctification, plagues, redemption, and praise. Okay? In those two verses. All right? Number 16. In non-messianic Jewish homes, Israel's past deliverance is emphasized without any present relevance. None. Zero. Number 17, in a messianic Jewish home, emphasis is placed on the truth that God accomplished their past redemption in order to give hope for the future. All right. I'm going to have to stop here because I can't get into the next part. Are there any questions? I know it's a lot. How many of y'all ever realized that there was so much to Passover? Huh? Hey, imagine being under the law and having to keep all of this. All of the feasts, okay? But for the Passover, for the Christian, for the child of God. You know, I've heard people say, yeah, but Passover, that's all Old Testament, that's Jewish, it has no relevance, doesn't mean anything. Huh? I mean, Paul even mentioned writing to the church at Corinth, okay? Speaking of Messiah, our Passover. Passover was significant. Let me tell you why. It pointed to the Paschal Lamb, of which you and I today participate in, if you're a believer. Amen? So, which month is Passover? Nisan. When do they choose the lamb? Passover is eaten on when? Feast of Unleavened Bread begins on? Very good. Very good. The four cups of the Seder. Number one. Number two. Plagues. Number three. Number four. Praise. Very good. All right. Try to think of some other ones.